I'd like to ask you if you'd turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. A while back, I was thinking about loving God. You know, we're supposed to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love our neighbor as ourself. But what are you going to do if you love the Lord? It's not like you can take the Lord out to dinner. It's not like you can buy him a gift. Because he doesn't need those things. And so what does it mean? How do you love the Lord? And so I started praying about those things and thinking, does Scripture give us any direction on that? And I'd like you to turn with your Bibles to Matthew chapter 25, and let's begin with verse 31. It says, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he'll sit on his throne in heavenly glory, and all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates sheep from goats. He'll put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father. Take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger or invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and go and visit you? And the king will reply, I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. How do we love the Lord? Well, here in this story that Jesus told, whatever we do for one of the least of these brothers of his, it's just as if we do it for him. Now, the group that Jesus was talking to, when this is part of a sermon that began in the beginning of chapter 24. And so Jesus has, of course, the 12 apostles with him, but then he has a larger group because there was a lot of those who are following him. In fact, Jesus sent out the 12 in two by two to go out into the surrounding villages and to preach, heal people, and cast out demons. But then a little bit of time went out, and then Jesus sent out a group of 72 to do the same thing. So you can just imagine that here when Jesus is talking, he has a larger group of people that have been traveling around with him, listening to his teaching, and a significant part of the group are ones that have gone out and have been ministering. Like, we know for positive that a minimum of 72 people in this group have been sent out by him into the surrounding villages to preach the things he had been teaching, and also he had given them a special blessing so that they could heal people and cast out demons. So this isn't just like a crowd of whoever. I mean, this Jesus, at this point when he's teaching, he's got people that are very committed. And so he is saying to this whole big group, he says, whatever you do to the least of these brothers of mine, you do it for me. And now, as I've looked at this scripture for the longest time, I thought this was an appeal to help out whoever is down and out. And I think that, you know, Jesus calls on us to love our neighbor. He also calls on us to love our enemies. So it does include everybody. But here specifically, when he says, whatever you've done for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you've done for me, I'd like you to think about that group that was gathered around him that day. And this is a group of people who were committed to his teaching, people who are committed to trying to see that God's word was spread, some of these people had been rejected in the places that they had gone to. Some of these people had faced some severe opposition. And Jesus is basically saying, as you have taken care of my people, you're taking care of me. That's what he's saying here. Now, look at the various things that he was looking at. First off, it was the hungry, those who are needing something to eat. Second group was the thirsty, and they gave him something to drink. The third was strangers, and it says, you invited me in. And you know, when Jesus sent out the 72, he told him, he says, I don't want you to take a purse. I don't want you to take a bag. I don't want you to take extra food. I don't want you to take an outer garment. I don't even want you to take a walking stick with you. I just want you to go into these villages and towns ahead of me with nothing but your own self. And those people who have open hearts to me are going to receive you. Now, what do we know? That some of those places where he traveled, they did not have open hearts to God. That's a sad thing, but it is the truth. But that's the way it was for Jesus. I remember when Jesus went into Nazareth, and he went into the synagogue, and he took that scroll of the prophet Isaiah, and he opened it up, and he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he's anointed me to preach good news to the poor. And then afterwards, he started teaching the people. And at the end of what he said to him this, he says, you know, time's going to come when you people are going to say to me, why didn't you do the things here in your hometown that you did in these other towns? But here's the problem. A prophet is not honored in their hometown. And the people weren't open to him. The people in his hometown, when they heard what he had to say, they got angry. It says, the people of Nazareth got together and they got so angry, they gathered together in a mob and they took Jesus to the brow of a hill to throw him off and kill him. So what he said did not go over in his hometown. But it says, Jesus passed through the crowd and he moved on from there. And the next place he went was the town of Capernaum. And when Jesus got to Capernaum, he went into the local synagogue, and then after, he taught the people. And when the people heard what Jesus had to say, which was probably the same message he preached in Nazareth, it says they were filled with awe and wonder because they said, this is somebody who's teaching, not like our regular teachers do, but there's a power and there's an authority there. Jesus went on to heal several people. And it says the word just spread out through that whole region. And it says people heard what was going on. And it says there was power coming out from him so that people were being healed. Same guy, same message. But one place was closed to him. The other place, they had open hearts to him. And because they had open hearts, powerful things happened. And you know, when he sent out the 12, same deal. Some communities received him, some didn't. When he sent out the 72 later, some communities received them and some didn't receive them. And Jesus had a special place in his heart for those ones who went out to spread the good news. As the writer to Hebrews says, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news, or those who spread the gospel of peace. And Jesus says, whatever you do for one of the least of these people with beautiful feet who are spreading the gospel of peace, whatever you've done for the least of these, it's just like you've done it for me. The hungry, the thirsty, the stranger, those needing clothes, the sick, are those in prison. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers, you did for me. Now, early on in Matthew chapter 6, you find the Sermon on the Mount. And in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, you find Jesus' teaching there. He calls it your acts of righteousness. And he says, be careful that you do not do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. If you do, you'll have no reward from your Father in heaven. So he says, so when you give to the needy, and basically he says, don't do it to get attention from others. Do it just because it's the right thing to do, and it comes from a loving heart. And he says, then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. So giving to the needy. And he says, and when you pray for people, don't stand up and make a big show trying to impress everybody about what a wonderful prayer you are. But he says, go into your closet at home and pray. Pray to your Father who is unseen. And it says, your Father who is unseen will see and he will reward you. And lastly, he says, when you fast, don't make a big show of it, telling everybody that you're fasting. Don't do that. Because all you're trying to do is impress people. Don't chase after that at all. He says, instead, don't let people know that you're fasting. And then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. All right? So these things, these giving to the needy, the prayer, the fasting, those, according to Jesus, are like acts of righteousness. And they're things that we need to do, not to get praise from others, but things we're doing just so that he could see them. Now, I might stumble around trying to communicate this, so you got to hang with me. Over and over again, he says, your Father who sees what is done in secret. Your Father who sees what is done in secret. If you want to love the Lord, in your heart of hearts, you need to love other people. And you need to, when you see folks that are his people and that are in need, if you can help them, help them. Or if you could be a good listener, you need to be a good listener. Or if they need you to share something with you, that you share something with you. And it's like your Father sees that. And that's a good thing, and it's the right thing, and it's just like you're doing it for him. That's how you love him. Now, I think that we have a couple of obstacles to trying to do that. And I think the obstacles are sometimes because of our own efficiency. I still remember, what was that, about 15 years ago that they came up with Palm Pilots? Does anybody have one of those? Come on. Yeah, I see a couple of heads nodding. I remember getting one. I remember going to the classes. I still remember sitting the first time when at one of the seminars I was at, they had the Palm Pilot out, and they were just talking about how you can plan your schedule and you can put everything in order, 1, 2, 3, 4, and then as you do it, you can check them off, and then you can organize your time during the day. And then they put Stephen Covey's book in my hand. And I was like, for once, I am going to be efficient. And I started thinking about all the things I could accomplish in life. And I moved everything around so that I could have a Palm Pilot. Oh, and then I had it, and I was taking it with me. And I wanted friends to see. I had to look. You know what? If we stand close to each other, we can set the beam on and we can share contacts. Here, let's touch them together. We can share contacts. That was technology at the time. But what was the idea? The idea was is that you can put more in your schedule if you're organized. I still remember standing there when I remember going to one of the seminars where they had a pitcher there and they had a whole bunch of stuff on a table. And the question was, can you put all this stuff on in the table into this pitcher? And everybody's like, oh, no way. There's no way you can do it. And then he went on to take these three large stones and put them in the pitcher first. And then the next thing they put in was these smaller stones. And then lastly, he put sand in, but then he shook it all around so the sand settled in. And then when you think that that's packed as much as you could, he had water and then poured it in. And it's like, wow. And one thing they explained is if you made the mistake of putting the sand in first and the little rocks first, you'd never get the big rocks in. It says, but if you can be organized and you can put your large stones in first, and then you can put your medium-sized stones, and then the small ones, and then the sand, and shake it all around, and then you can pack more in your schedule. So I was like, dear God, there's hope. And so I started thinking, man, think about all the things I could accomplish. So I'd sit down in the beginning of the week, and I would come up with this detailed to-do list. And I would look at it, and I would plan out what was my big stones, and what were the medium stones, and what were the little things, and I would plan my day out. Well, let me tell you, there's some things that don't work with that. Phone calls. People coming into your office. Wait a second. I planned I'm going to go from here to here to here, and I planned that by the time it's 10 o'clock, I was going to have this one done, and I was going to be on to the next one. All of a sudden, someone would come to the office, and it's like you look at them, and you want to be loving, but you're thinking, I know what my time schedule is for today. I remember when I was living in Maine, pastoring the church I was, we lived right next door to the church. And my son Christian loved that because Christian and Tammy are just like, Christian's just like his mom, all right? So because Christian is just like his mom, they didn't get along half the time. So Christian would get all fired up about something about Tammy. And the next thing I know, he would get on his bicycle, training wheels and all, and he was pulling up to the front door of the church, and the door would open up, and he would walk in my office, and I used to have a couch sitting in front of my desk, and he would plump down on that thing, and he would have this look on his face, and he would say, Dad, you have got to talk to Mom. And I'd be like, well, what do I need to talk to Mom about? And he would go on to explain to me how his mother had been very unreasonable about something. Well, there was a problem. I had my time schedule, and I did not allow any time in there for Christian to come in my office. And, you know, we can laugh about that, but I can think of other things where I had, you know, you sometimes as a pastor, you have stuff come up that you have no idea is going to come up, and it's like, oh, my goodness. You know, you just got to make adjustments. Think about for you guys, what happens if somebody close to you dies? What happens to your schedule? You throw it out because you know you got a viewing, you got a funeral, you got family responsibilities, you got 100,000 phone calls to make. Your schedule's out the door. You're not going to be 100% efficient. And often with us Christians, we, in the quest to be efficient with our time, we can pack that schedule right up. And then when need comes up, we don't have any time to meet the need. Right? You know what I'm talking about? But there's been times when I kind of ask God to give me directions, and I'm thinking, I know today that my plan needs to change. I know today that money in my wallet, I'm supposed to give it away. And sometimes it takes a little adjustment, but I can do it. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, we have to have, if we are ever going to meet the needs of these people that Jesus talks about, the hungry, the thirsty, the stranger, those needing clothes, the sick, those in prison. It is being open like that means that we're going to have to make some adjustments in our time. We cannot schedule out every hour, schedule out every minute. And I know we want to be efficient with the time we have, but sometimes our efficiency can take too much of our priority. We have to have some openness so that we can be useful to the Lord. not just in our time schedule, we need to have it with our finances too. I know I can be guilty, Tammy and I can sit down and we're planning that we're going to pay our bills like this, and we are going to save this much, and this much is going to be on debt, and literally, that's how it is. So a need could come up before us. And you have to ask yourself, are you willing to make an adjustment? It might be a big need. Are you so scheduled up? Are you so planned up that you have no room? And I challenge you, it comes down to if you want to love the Lord, loving Him is directly connected to how you respond to these needs when they come across your path. This story happened 12 years ago. We were going to have a vacation Bible school, but we didn't have enough money to buy all the stuff to pull it off. And so we had this announcement in the bulletin, and everybody in the church looked at their bulletin and says, wow, we got a bunch of money we got to raise to do this. And of course, I took in a little ditzy bit of money, but really, I needed another $500 to pull the thing off. And so we had our church service, nice church service. At the end of the church service, shake hands, hug. All of a sudden, everybody leaves. Fine, everybody leaves. Well, right before I left, truck pulls back in the yard. And we had this family that went to the church, and the husband worked for a construction company, and he was like a lower-level construction supervisor that was, you know, building industrial buildings. He was a lower-level supervisor. And he walks up to me, and he says, here, I'm supposed to give you this. And he hand me $500 bills. And I'm like, oh, wow, thank you. You know, he goes, you don't understand. And I go, what? He goes, I've been saving for the longest time. I wanted to buy a big screen TV for my family, so I saved up, and I was going to buy it with this. And he says, I tried driving home. I tried. He goes, all through the service, it's like that money was just going, rear, rear, rear. And he goes, I got in my truck and I went home. He goes, I got most of the way home. But he goes, I just couldn't. I couldn't go the rest of the way. I had to come back. And he goes, here it is. You know, here's my big screen TV. And I'm like, I didn't know. What do you say? I said, thank you. He left. He left. All right. Here's the rest of the story. 2 months ago, I didn't really tell you guys the rest of the story on this, but I'm going to tell you the rest of the story. We had an AC unit go down, and the best deal we could get from Cool Air is he goes, I'm going to do it at my cost, and then I'm even going to give some of my money to help your church out to get the price down. The new unit's going to cost you $5,000. And I said, okay. I said, I know in my heart God's going to somehow help us have the $5,000. I don't have it now, but as soon as I call you, can you come and install? He goes, yeah, sure. I get a telephone call from this guy who gave me his $500 for his TV 12, 13 years ago. And he says, can I meet with you in your office? It was on Saturday afternoon. I said, yeah, sure. So I drove over and I was there, and him and his wife walked in. And he's no longer a low-level manager at this construction company. A bunch of shake-up things happened. He got a bunch of promotions. One of the partners left. The other two partners brought him on as a partner to the company. His company right now is building one of the Disney resorts. That's just one of the projects they're doing, all right? He says, this church has been such a blessing to me and my family. And he goes, you taught me a lot. He goes, I still remember that first sermon when you taught us about tithing, and I thought you were crazy. And he goes, but I've been doing it. And he goes, look at me now. And he says, here's a check I'm supposed to give you for $5,000. And I have a feeling that you already know what you want to give it to. You got some reason why I'm supposed to give you this. And I said, I absolutely do. He goes, what? And I said, one of my AC units just went down. And he says, well, how much is it going to cost you? I said, $5,000. And so him and his wife were weeping. I was weeping. And it's like, what's the idea? We have an opportunity. We can love the Lord by meeting the needs that he brings before us, by loving the people that he brings across our paths. We can serve him. Our lives matter. If we need to make adjustments in our schedule so that all of our time isn't all hogged up and all of our money is all committed so we don't have any room to do anything. We need to make room and we need to have open spirits because there are people that need to be loved and we're the ones that are supposed to love them. And there are people that need time, and it's our time that is supposed to serve and help them. And there are people and there are needs that are almost tailor-made for us, and somehow it's the us that are supposed to meet them. And we need to free ourselves up enough so that we can do that. And by doing that, we can love him. And loving him, that matters. When asked about the greatest commandment, Jesus didn't hesitate, and he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. He goes, the second commandment is just like it. He goes, love your neighbor as yourself. He goes, if you do all those things, you've fulfilled the law and the prophets. Loving God. Amen. Let me pray for you, and then Pastor Scott's going to come up and close. Dear God, it's good to walk with you, and it's good, Lord, that our lives matter and that we can do things that please you. We can do things to show you love. I thank you, Heavenly Father, because we have had around us good people that have done great things, and we've got to see their lives and learn from them. Now, Heavenly Father, we know that in the time, our time now, there's going to be opportunities that are going to come up, and they are opportunities for us that we can show you love by serving other people. Help us not to have hard hearts or closed hearts, but help us, Lord, to be very open to your leadership and tender to the needs of people. And I pray, Lord, you'd use us. And I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.